This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Okay, wait, first of all, you're 37?
Yes.
Up until 6 years ago, there was no sex.
Up until 3 months ago,
there
was no sex.
3 months ago.
So 37 has been my sexiest year yet.
I think I've heard my mom talk about her sex life to me like 3 times.
As far as I know, they've had sex 4 times and it resulted in 4 children.
My parents are openly talking about it all the time. It's disgusting.
Welcome to Sex Talk with my mom. I'm Cam Poder.
I'm Karen Lee Poder.
My mother is a sex expert, cougar, and the world's oldest living millennial.
My son is a stand-up comic and one of, apparently, 2 Buddhist clowns that you're going to hear from today.
That is correct. Today we have on a dear friend of mine, Jonathan Blake, who is also a Buddhist clown. And this Buddhist clown has a story to share.
Okay. So before we get into the Buddhist clown, let's talk about some other issues that we need to speak about.
Can I give one little teaser and then we'll get back to it?
Yes.
This is the story of how someone at 37 years old lost their virginity.
That was a huge teaser. Okay.
Okay.
So we'll get back to that.
A couple things we want to chat about. Mother.
Yes.
We're getting some incredible responses on our survey.
We've gotten over 100, which is incredible.
Unbelievable. And we're learning about some of your favorite podcasts, which we hope to reach out to actually collaborate with. And it's giving us a much better idea of what you guys are all about. And it's helping us figure out which topics to talk about, which advertisers to work with. So thank you guys so much for filling out that survey.
Have you found out anything so far?
Here's a fun fact.
What?
We are approximately 50 men to women. Some people said they were non-binary.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty amazing.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Because we're 50-50 in the co-hosts.
That's absolutely right. So we really attract an even audience.
That's very good.
Yes.
So I guess we're going to have to talk about a lot of things. We can't just focus in on that one or the other.
Well, I don't think we really do. Anyway, for those who, the survey is going to be going through the end of the month. At the very end of the month, we're going to be selecting a winner. One lucky winner is going to receive $350 worth of sex toys and intimacy products from Babeland.com.
And Babeland is a quality store.
Yeah, all the products are going to be from WeVibe, the brand.
Oh, and quality brand.
Yeah, so if you want to enter, go to sextalkwithmymom.com and there's a button right at the top that says survey.
Yeah, Cam's done some wonders for that website. It looks beautiful.
Thank you. All right. One other website I wanted to tell you about, Patreon. Patreon is our online community where we get to communicate directly with you guys. And it's also a place where we can post bonus content. So if you like this episode, we actually are going to be posting a 10-minute bonus episode with Jonathan after this where we talk all about his introvertedness.
Oh, yeah. You're going to find out some more. The juiciest stuff always comes on the Patreon bonus episodes. So it's one reason to join Patreon. Another reason is because we're going to give out some special merch to our patrons. So stay tuned with that. But in order to join, you just have to go to patreon.com/sextalkwithmymom. For as little as a dollar, you can join us.
I would like to also say that this episode can only be in existence with the help of our sponsor, Clona Willy.
As you guys know, Clona Willy is our most fun do-it-yourself home penis and pussy-making kit.
I'm thinking about making another clone of my Willy.
Okay, well, don't ask your brother because he's not going to want to be involved in that again.
Well, it was a very nice bonding experience that we both shared. And for those just tuning in, Clona Willy is a do-it-yourself molding kit that allows you to make a silicone replica of your penis or vulva or any actually any object.
Any body part. But Cam did his of his dick.
And then you put in a vibrator afterwards.
Right.
And it vibrates and I can fuck myself if I really wanted to.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear that.
So go to clonawilly.com, enter promo code MOM. clonawilly.com, enter promo code MOM, and you, our special listener, will get 20% off.
That's pretty good.
Your entire order.
And it's great. Right in time for the holidays. If anybody asks, what should I get you for the holidays, honey? You say, clone a willy or clone a pussy, whatever you want.
Tremendous. All right. One last thing I wanted to chat about. We got an awesome review I wanted to read here.
Oh, I want to hear it.
We love when you guys leave us iTunes reviews or wherever you listen to podcasts. This one says, favorite new podcast, 5 stars.
Woohoo!
From Meg Gray. Cam and Karen are a great balance. I love how this podcast covers diverse topics that promote honesty about sex, love, and relationships. It is a hilarious and very entertaining to listen to them dive into terrain a mother and son typically would avoid. Love it!
Meg, love you.
Love you, Meg.
Love any future iTunes reviewers and subscribers. If you guys subscribe, you don't miss out on episodes because literally we put them out, but sometimes they don't come out on the days you expect them to. So just subscribe and you won't miss any episodes.
I know you say that because you want to convince people to subscribe, but you know how anal I am and that it is right. Going to come out every Monday and Thursday.
It is exactly what was going through my head.
Yeah, midnight.
I knew you were going
to
say that.
It's a specific time, not even just like a day of the week. The reason to subscribe is just so that you're notified that our new episode is out and that you keep up to date with us.
And it helps also with our SEO ratings. So it's a good thing to subscribe.
Okay.
That being said, can we dive into this episode?
Yes.
Okay. So here's what I took.
I love this man, by the way. Do you want to describe what he looks like and what his vibe is?
Well, he's slight. He's petite.
Yeah.
And
he wears glasses.
He wears glasses.
He's a little...
He's 37 years old.
Mm-hmm. He has a little scruff.
He's got a little scruffy beard. He's got glasses. And he just looks like a sweetheart. And he is.
He said when I was letting him out of our... When I was letting him out.
You allowed him to leave?
Yes. When I was walking to his car, he said, his goal would be to be somewhere between a Mr. Rogers and a Shel Silverstein.
Because I think he's there.
He's amazingly wise, and he talks all about overcoming his own low self-esteem.
And a lot of people, both on my YouTube channel and on this podcast, have talked about how shy they are, or introverted, and how it affects their entire life, especially with the opposite sex or with the same sex or whoever. They just feel so inadequate, and that's why it's difficult for them to, be comfortable in bed.
Yeah.
And physically, they feel inadequate, and this is just delved into quite extensively.
He is so open and honest in the way that he talks about, the pain that he's experienced and why he experiences low self-esteem, and then how
he overcame it
in his most recent first sexual encounter, really.
And at this point, I think he's more experimental than me and you both.
I love it so much.
It's hilarious.
Incredible. And he's a cartoonist. And if you go to his Instagram, it's at I hear like this. Check him out, because if you like this, you'll love his cartoons. They're full of wisdom and they're also beautifully done. So highly recommend. We didn't talk about that in this interview, but he's amazing. And as always, get in touch with us so we can talk about this on our morning after show on Monday by texting us or leaving us a voicemail at YesTextMom. We'd love to hear your thoughts, if this was helpful, and if you have anything to share with Jonathan, let us know.
So when we say yes, text mom, you can leave a voicemail. We love hearing your voices.
All right.
Let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the Quakers and the Buddhists and a little shy guy.
Enjoy. Jonathan Blake, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Cam.
I am thrilled to have yet another Buddhist clown on the podcast.
This is a 2-for-1.
Honored
to be here.
It's a 2-for-1. You saw that on the sticky note on our wall that said Buddhist clown, and you're like, what did you think?
I thought, oh, was that for me?
And then realized, no, it's both you and Cam.
Was your opinion of sex shaped by your Buddhist practices?
I would say that my being a Buddhist helped me out of my initial Christian upbringing.
So you were not raised Buddhist. You got into it on your own.
Yeah.
So were you Catholic?
Quaker.
Oh. Wow. We had Mormons on, and now we've got a Quaker. That's pretty cool.
I feel that being a Buddhist was very instrumental in me being able to have sex.
Okay, wait. First of all, you said you're 37?
Yes.
Okay, so up until 6 years ago, there was no sex.
Up until 3 months ago,
there
was no sex.
3 months ago.
So 37 has been my sexiest year yet.
I see. It was a long time coming, so to speak.
Oh, yeah.
So you were raised a Quaker.
Yes.
How was sex perceived there?
You have sex when you're married.
Okay.
Or after you're married.
So this was very similar to Mormon. Uh-huh. The Mormon.
And what about masturbation?
Masturbation was considered to be sinful. So I didn't masturbate for the first time until I was 21. And I was a student at Fullerton College, and I was in speech class. And one of my friends gave a talk on masturbation. And I thought, that could be fun to try.
Were you like ready to blow up?
You didn't feel any urges like, oh, I need, there's something here.
That really was all taken care of through, I would have wet dreams, mm-hmm. which we were told is like, that's kind of the God-approved way of letting go of all that.
Because you're not really like participating. It's like, it's beyond your control.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, my first time masturbating was actually, it was difficult. Like it actually took me a while before it just started more happening naturally. Like you would think that 21 years
you're gonna explode.
But no.
Well, so, you had conditioned your body not to do it so long that it was like, and probably the psychological implications were like, oh my God, I'm doing something sinful.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
And you didn't die.
No.
Nobody struck you down. So what did they say would happen to you if you had masturbated?
Oh, it was more just that it was, I think it was more the, what brought about your masturbation? It was the lustful thoughts. So the idea of it was like by the time you're masturbating, you've already sinned because you've been looking at people or thinking about people in lustful or covetous ways.
Oh, damn. Or
what was the most difficult thing for me, I wouldn't say it was the theological hang-ups about sex, even though that would happen. It was more that as I was growing up in the church, that ministers would say like, well, let's take a look at Jonathan. Not much to look at, but did you know he has a heart for God? So
first of all, I hate to say this, but I would really want to, if that was my kid, your mother heard them saying this to you?
Oh, well, my family loves me, but I don't think they ever had much hope for me that I would ever find someone. My sister, I remember a time that my sister had a picture of me and she was walking up to show it to me. And my mom asks, why are you laughing? And she said, oh, I have a picture of John. Is that nice? Is that a nice thing to show him a picture of? No. So.
Well, let me say something here. Kids do that to each other. They tease each other. That's normal. By the way, you're a good looking guy. I don't know why people would say that. And that was a mean thing. And I feel like going to find that goddamn priest or whoever that was and smacking him around a few times. Because that's very devastating to your self-esteem.
It was.
And I'm PO'd about it.
So I carried...
I'd become a mother bear. I would go nuts if I heard anybody saying that kind of... Okay, never mind. Go on.
You can swear on the show.
I've already done it three times in the last 2 seconds.
So I carried Yeah, it was that feeling of shame.
Oh.
That no one was interested in me physically. So,
well, you should be happy because some of those priests, they pretend they're not interested and they molest you. So who knows what can go on. Oh, here we go. Huh? I'm sorry to speak ill of the church, but that does occur.
Oh, it does. A tremendously terrible amount. It was those feelings of no one would ever want to be near me physically that made the thought of sex so difficult.
Of course. You have no self-confidence. You don't feel sexy. So who's going to want to have sex with you? It's a horrible thing to do to a kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, recently we were watching a sex educator's lecture to college students. She said the number one thing that she teaches, the first step to having good sex is to know your own body. Mm. So to masturbate, basically. She kept saying, so she goes, you need to masturbate and understand what turns you on. Because how the hell is anyone else going to be able to do that if you don't know how to do it yourself?
Right. They're not mind readers.
And so if you grow up not masturbating, and as you said, it takes a while to even figure out the first several times how to do it.
Yeah.
I can imagine that there's going to be a lot of blocks before involving someone else.
Mm-hmm. Especially if he didn't feel like he was attractive to anyone.
Totally.
Thank you. So... When I did get to have sex for the first time, it was so healing for me just to be seen and received in that way. And I think what was so helpful, what made that possible, is I had come to a place of acceptance with myself. Because I had been thinking about that idea of the burden of being loved by someone if you don't love yourself.
Yeah, I always say that about the oxygen mask come down in the airplane. If you don't give it to yourself first, you can't take care of the people around you.
Yeah.
So you started feeling some confidence in your attraction, or how did you come to terms with it?
I can just start getting more into these stories, I'd say.
Yes, I think so.
So the night before I turned 37, I was at a friend's house for a small group, and one of her roommates came home, and I was talking to her in the kitchen, and she had told me that she was a professional dominatrix. And I thought, awesome.
Oh my God.
Awesome.
This is wild.
Because knowing how painful it was for me growing up and not feeling like I had anything to give or could receive anything physically, I thought of the Velveteen Rabbit. How the Velveteen Rabbit in that story, it's like, you're not real until someone loved you. And I had been living with this idea that the only type of love that really made you real was that romantic or physical love. Mm. And since I never had that, there was that part of me that never felt real in that way.
Wow.
But I still liked people, and I still felt that I had value. I just felt that it felt too threatening for me to try to put that out there that, oh yeah, and I can be this too.
So you never tried kissing a girl, and a girl never tried kissing you, or a boy, or whoever you're attracted to.
No. I had wanted to go to prom. I asked about 8 different people, but they all said no because they were waiting for someone else to ask them who they wanted.
I think that happened at camp too. Don't worry, didn't it?
Freshman year, I was told someone else is gonna ask me. So.
Hmm.
I had asked someone else, and that girl told me I am like a plateau.
She told you you're a plateau?
Yes. And then,
I'm going to go smack some other ass around. Who said that? Who told you you're a plateau?
Yeah, my freshman homecoming date.
Why are people so mean, especially kids?
Well, over time, it turns out I didn't plateau.
No, he's just peaking now.
Yeah.
Both of you guys are peaking right now.
Yeah.
The Buddhist clowns are peaking.
Nice. That'd be a comedy show. So I had my first girlfriend, or what, she was my theoretical girlfriend because everyone else thought she was my girlfriend but her. and she had told me that one reason that she wouldn't be my girlfriend is that when she looked at me, she couldn't imagine herself kissing me.
What year was this?
This was when I was 21. So
were you like in an all boys school or anything like that?
No. Mm. No, I was always friends with girls, but I never understood how that connection happens, because like I'd seen movies where it's like a girl would kind of flirt with the guy or maybe give him a kiss, and mm-hmm. I'm like, how does that happen? How does someone just like you? Because I had never had that experience before, and I always felt that if I tried to reach out or like, oh, would you like to go out with me? And that I had that feeling like I was ruining their day because they thought I was such a nice person that they didn't want to ruin my day by saying no to me,
right?
But that they weren't interested. Mm-hmm. So that I'm just saving everyone the trouble by not even asking.
I think you're going to, after this podcast episode airs, you're going to, a lot of women, they're going to be like, I'm going to go for that guy just because he sounds so awesome.
Thank you.
I love the way you say thank you.
And it was that idea of, I was going to say something, but yeah, it was also, I tend to be very, well, I try to be conflict avoidant, but that thought that if I can be all right, I'll just learn to be all right by myself,
mm-hmm.
and maybe someone someday.
And we'd like to take a quick pause to thank our sponsor. Now, Mom, the holiday season is coming up. What are you getting for your partner, D's?
Funny you should ask. I had a brainstorm.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, in the dead of winter, things get a little boring. If you want to spice up your sex life, make a clone of Willie. Make a clone of Deez's dick.
For those who don't know, a clone of Willie is a do-it-yourself craft kit. It creates a silicone replica of whatever you put inside it. So if you want to make a replica of your penis, put your dick in there.
A pussy? Put your pussy on there.
And you can give it to a partner or keep it for yourself. It's a phenomenal gift. And it's, as you said, it's a great way to spice up your sex life.
It's fun just making it, and then you have it afterwards to look at.
The process of making it could be funny, or it could be very sensual and sexy, because you have to kind of like arouse the other partner.
Yes, and a combination of both.
It's phenomenal. So this holiday season, that is our number one gift that we can recommend to you.
ClonaWilly.com.
Go to ClonaWilly.com and enter promo code MOM to get 20% off your entire order.
Let's get back to the dominatrix.
Sure.
I was on a really good roll there, and I got you off track again.
So we just really hit it off.
In the kitchen?
Conversationally.
No, I mean, like, did you just start talking to her? Was she wearing, like, black leather boots and, like, some chains and stuff?
Oh, no. She was just wearing casual attire. And she shared with, I asked her if I could share with her a quote by Jay Krishnamurti. And she said, oh, I love Jay Krishnamurti.
Who the heck is that?
He was an Indian philosopher.
Okay. Phenomenal.
Of course, mm-hmm. of course, Cam knows who this is.
Oh yeah. I've also bonded with woman over Jay Krishnamurti.
Was she a dominatrix?
Oh, nice. No, unfortunately not. I don't know why, unfortunately. Yeah, go on.
But so I got to talk with her, and we met up a couple times, and she inspired me that perhaps I could start thinking of my sexuality again. Like, perhaps this could be an identity that I could experience. And then I started thinking, I'd like to have sex. So I thought, why don't I go where people are having sex? So I signed up. I was part of this contact improv group on Facebook. And there was a post for a tantric play shop. And I thought, oh, that sounds fun. And it's only $25? Sweet.
Oh, God.
So I went without a partner. So the person teaching it ended up bringing me on as an example. So
wait, what?
So I got to...
Well, first describe the room and who was there. I have to visualize this.
So there were a lot of mattresses and blankets and pillows, and someone brought her own body butter because that's what she sold. So I was given it was primarily learning. It was primarily Thai massage or massage techniques, and yeah, it felt really nice. Everyone else was a couple on their own mattress. So for me, just to receive that care and affection.
Hold on. So everybody's with couples, and then you just fixed up with someone?
With the teacher.
Female teacher. Ah, okay.
And then following that was a sexy...
Was she massaging you?
Mm-hmm.
Were you naked?
No.
So was everyone just getting aroused? Secretly aroused?
You could call it... You could probably call it secret. There wasn't any... There wasn't any noticeable that I was like, they were, also just would have felt weird just being the one single person just looking at couples like, oh, he's a, but they were getting naked near the end.
Really?
Were they having sex? No, just being with each other. And at a certain point, I was like, well, right time for me to head off. Like they are all involved with each other, and by that time I was just the only person on my mattress, so I thought, well, it's been fun.
Was the teacher like attractive to you?
She was. She
did you massage her?
No, I ended up pairing up with another guy. So we would give each other massages. So I thought, I can be open to massaging other genders. Everyone is deserving of love and affection. So I wanted to see that as an opportunity of, yeah, just kind.
The only reason I'm laughing is because of what you're doing.
The motions?
The motions are hilarious.
The hand motions of the ocean?
There was like a massage motion in the air that was going on over here. Okay.
And then you put on the...
Well, you put on a what thing?
The oil and the body butter, and then you...
Well, are you guys wearing like underpants? Are you just wearing shorts? What's happening there?
I had my boxers on.
You just took all your clothes off and wearing your boxers, and the other guy's wearing his boxers, and you guys are just massaging the shit out of each other, and it's feeling good.
Yeah.
Ah.
I think I just have this visual of everyone just having boners around.
Why? Why?
Because I have a feeling if I were in a situation, the teacher is massaging me with body butter, I mean, my boxers, and just pop boner right in front of the whole class.
Cam had the experience once in a massage. Headed what is called a chubby.
Yes. Okay, go on.
And the play party was followed by a sexy mythical creature lingerie birthday party.
That night. It was a different...
No, same night.
The same people? Oh, wow. Okay.
So I thought, well, I can just leave this and go early to the party.
Was this... Are these at people's homes or gymnasiums? Where are they?
It was a very nice home.
Beautiful home.
Wow.
That sounds, that was a great move on your part.
Thank you. I was proud of myself for taking that opportunity.
It's a big risk.
Oh, yeah. So the dominatrix told you about this community and then you got involved or no?
So she had invited me to be part of this contact improv group on Facebook. Because I was thinking, if not for sexual reasons, it would still be a lot of fun just to be able to connect and move with people physically. Wait, and just have
why that. Are these groups merged? Why are there tantric parties or play parties in the contact improv group?
The person who was hosting the party just thought that perhaps people in this group would be interested.
And they were.
Apparently, she was correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so go on. So now you're into some birthday party with lingerie.
And I wore my Totoro onesie.
Yeah, because what was the theme again?
Sexy mythical creature lingerie birthday party.
Sexy mythical creature lingerie birthday party. Which I think is going to be my birthday party. For next year.
Wait a second. I don't even know what like a dragon or something?
Totoro. My neighbor Totoro.
What are you saying, my neighbor Totoro? Dragon. What, do you have a mythical creature living next door to you named Totoro? What are you talking about, my neighbor Totoro?
No, what? That's a movie, My Neighbor Totoro.
I thought you have a neighbor named Totoro.
It's a mythical creature, and this is what he went as.
And
wait, both of you knew about this movie? I've never heard of this. What, is this a cartoon?
Yeah, it's an anime.
A Miyazaki cartoon.
Oh, well, how the heck was
you
I
know,
so...
You know, like Spirited Away, that type of thing?
Oh, I had never heard of this. Okay, go on.
And then while I was there, I met a polyamorous shaman. And we had a wonderful conversation. And
I always wanted to meet a shaman.
Oh.
Let alone a polyamorous awesome. One.
Well, that means she just loves, or he loves, was it a female?
She
loves everyone. Yeah, that's cool.
And she told me, people don't meet me by accident, which I thought was such a cool line.
That is a very cool line.
Cam and I have debated this before.
Oh.
But also, for the record, polyamory does not mean she just loves everyone, Mom.
Poly, multi, amory, love.
We have interviewed so many polyamorous people. It just means that they can fall in love with multiple, they prefer to fall in love with multiple people.
So how is that different than what I said?
They don't fall in love with everyone.
Okay. Qualifier. Not everyone. Okay. But anyway, we get the idea.
So I leave from that party with a whole new sense of confidence
What did that little gesture of your hand mean?
Yeah, what did...
Is that like a boner? What was it? What happened at that party?
My confidence raising.
Well, why?
Because I walked away with that. I walked away from that party not knowing anyone beforehand, but making connections with people, that believing that I can go to any new situation and be myself, and I'll be able to connect with someone and have a quality conversation.
And this is, it took you 37 years to do this?
To go to a...
The first party?
Oh, no, I had been to parties before.
Oh.
But this was a new... I host a monthly comedy show called the Calm Comedy Hour, where I open each show by breathing with the audience and saying, you are enough. And then do a little stand-up and then bring the next act up. So I feel like just every month saying you are enough and hearing you are enough and bringing that into new situations of like, I am enough. And one of the people that I met there messaged me the day after and was like, the best part of my night was getting to meet you.
Wow.
That was so sweet.
And it was, I think what made this party different was that it was a sexy mythical creature party.
That's what I'm getting
at. So it's
at.
A sex party. This a is very the
first,
sexy party.
So you were 37 years old before you went to your first sex party is what I'm trying to get at.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
When it comes to me, it's all about the sex part.
Oh, sure. And
oh, sure.
So after that, I'd also never been naked in front of anyone before. So
wait, so you were naked at the mythical sex party?
No, but so I perhaps I phrased that poorly. So after I left that, I was thinking, I went to a tantric play shop, sexy party. I've never been naked in front of anyone before. So I go on this site called, or this app called Meetup, or there are these meetup groups. And I see a meetup group for SoCal naturists. And I thought, well, that sounds nice.
What is a naturist?
Like they like birds and flowers and that kind
being,
of nature?
Being nude in nature.
Oh, not what you were picturing, Mom. Not what I was picturing either.
So they...
No,
they
I totally...
Being nude in nature.
Yeah, and then go looking at the flowers and the birds and all that kind of stuff. Romping in the meadows.
So there was...
I didn't know the nude part. I thought you... This was just like a...
I caught on to this.
Okay, go on.
So
you're more advanced sexually than me and Cammett at this point. We didn't go any to nude.
I didn't go any to naturist parties.
Or any kind of mythical creature lingerie parties.
So they have a series of events like nude yoga and nude bowling and other events. But before you go to those, you have to go to an introductory meetup group to learn about the group. So they had a meeting at Coco's, which was about 15 minutes from me. So I thought, great, I'll go see a movie, stop by Coco's, become part of the naturist group. And I was the only one who showed up, but...
I don't mean to laugh. How did you go to a meetup when no one got up? So, not even the organizers of the meetup?
Well, the vice president was there.
Oh.
So the...
The vice president of the meetup was there. All right, so you weren't alone.
No. So,
did you pass inspection?
He even paid for my soup.
Oh,
so sweet.
It was very nice.
So he brought his because they're quite the organization of he had a box of notebooks and pamphlets and flyers and handouts, and it's a dues-paying organization. And
oh, and you're the only one picking up the pamphlets and all this stuff and paying dues?
Well, I didn't pay any.
A meetup of one person, yourself?
So you had to pay to be with yourself, basically.
Well,
you didn't pay.
He met the
vice president.
The introductory meeting was free. And he treated me to soup, which was so nice. And he told me that they have an annual talent show. And I said, I perform stand-up. And he said, perfect. And I'm all, great.
Wait, are you doing nude stand-up in some meadow with some flowers and stuff?
So that it was going to be at this ranch.
Have you ever performed nude?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I thought... What a nice conflict-free way to appear naked in front of people. Like
conflict-free?
Yeah. No one needs to be uncomfortable. We're all naked.
Hold on. Can you paint? So he says there's a talent show. You say, I do stand-up. He says, great, you're hired. So you go to this. This is your first event.
So I never actually made it to the talent show. But what did happen is any time I shared about this with one friend of mine, she said, I love being naked.
I have that on my Yelp profile.
Oh.
It said, what secret would you like to share or does someone not know about you? And I wrote, I love being naked.
On your Yelp profile?
Yes.
No way.
Yeah. Go why, look it
wait,
up.
Why did you do this?
I don't know. I felt like divulging. I couldn't think of what I was supposed
to say. You never divulged it in our 3 years of podcasting.
I like guinea pigs. What are you going to say? I thought of the first thing that came to mind is, nobody really knows this. I love being naked. I don't not necessarily
way.
In public. I'm just saying I love not wearing clothes.
Sure.
Cam's okay. Dying. And Jonathan's like, oh, well, that makes sense.
Okay. So I'm anxious to hear what happened. You did not go to the party. You instead talked a lot about it to your friend. Why didn't you go to the party?
So there was a timeline. So the party was going to be in September, and I had talked with my friend in August.
Okay.
And I had shared with her that I was going to a nudist talent show, and she said, "I love being naked." And I thought, awesome. So we hung out a few times, and we were at the mall once, and she asked me, why don't you have a girlfriend?
Ooh, is she attractive, by the way?
She is.
Ooh.
And
single?
Generally, I think. We're friends. But this is all part of that. So I tell her a little bit about the story that I told you about the not much to look at, and looking at you, I don't think I'd ever want to kiss you. And like one of my professors telling me, well, I don't think anyone in LA would be interested in you, but have you thought of going to another country?
Jesus Christ.
So
I'm so appalled. People are freaking rude.
So I shared this with her, and then she asked me, can I kiss you?
Oh.
And I said, please. And that was my first kiss.
I love it. Was it good?
It was. I didn't entirely know what was going on. Or I didn't really feel like I was in that place of really giving back. So I thought, I'd like another chance at this. So she ends up walking me to my car, and then we get to my car and I ask, can I kiss you? And she says, yes. So I felt more engaged, and I felt better about like I was not at that moment. But so that was my first kiss, and then I got home and I messaged her and I said, so great to see you, friend. Your hugs and kisses are a gift. And she said, aw, thank you, friend. I really love seeing you. I like hugging and kissing you.
Ooh.
And I thought, thank you. And I thought, there's a beautiful simplicity to that. So
I love this.
This is the cutest thing in the world.
It is adorable.
Thank you. So so we end up getting together a couple days later, and she comes over to my apartment. And then I ask if she'd like to cuddle. And she says, sure. And then I say, just putting this out there. If you don't want to, totally cool. Totally cool. But if you would like to be naked, that'd be awesome.
Again, high five.
Thank you.
Were you freaking out?
So there was definitely that, like that sense when you're on stage and you're about to do something or make a proposal to the audience that you've never done before. But you know that if this goes through, it'll be one of the most exciting things ever.
This is great. It's a phenomenal analogy. This is exactly the sensation.
Yeah. So,
I am so proud of you.
Thank you. And then she said, it is feeling hot in here. There's like, awesome. So
next thing you know, you guys are both naked.
Yes.
Love it. Go on.
It was so nice. And that was, and at a certain point, I was like, I'd like to take my pants off now. She said, okay. Because I thought, let's just keep everyone abreast of the situation as it's.
I love it.
The narration is just killing me here.
This is phenomenal. All it requires just to get on the same page.
Yeah. And
definitely had consent.
Yes. And later when we were talking, she told me that, well, you just asked so politely. I wanted to see where this would go. And for me, that was so beautiful, because I met someone who wanted to kiss me because she thought I was kind, and someone who was open to be naked with me because I asked so politely. And I thought that's perfect, because I thought that I might literally die before ever having that experience, because In what situation would I ever feel comfortable about asking someone, would you like to be naked with me? Yeah. Or would you like to? But there was just such a, it felt, there was enough safety for me to feel like taking the risk. And there was enough risk to have that excitement of, yeah, let's see what could happen.
I love that you use her, I love being naked. Like, whoa, you love being naked. Would you like to do it with me?
Yes.
That's very clever.
I think that it's, you know, we've talked to Casanovas, people that we've talked to women that get as many people as they want. I think very few would be confident enough to actually ask someone, do you want to be naked with me? That's like a very vulnerable question to ask someone. It's frightening. Even to think about doing it with someone else. Like, what? Because a lot of times hooking up is like,
no speak.
You're not discussing full on what's happening, because it's just too uncomfortable to talk about. I once said to a girl, can I kiss you? And she's like, what? You don't ask? And I was like, whoa, this just got weird. Things got, you know, why are you making me feel bad for asking your consent to kiss you? But that's kind of what we fear in not asking is the fact that we might be rejected. And so we just avoid it altogether by assuming consent and just going for it or not acknowledging the fact that we're actually, these are minor things, like not minor, but like these are steps along the way, getting naked, cuddling, and just to speak it out loud is phenomenal.
I agree. It's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Especially for someone who had such low self-esteem physically and as far as attractiveness goes.
Yeah. And that idea of it was so powerful for me to just get to be naked next to someone. And I remember thinking that, because, I never grew up thinking that my body was impressive, but that idea that it doesn't need to be impressive. I just need to meet that person who's open to sharing their body with me.
Yeah, people have such horrible views of their own body. And they're so critical. You're not the first person who's, I mean, usually it's someone who's like, I'm too fat, I'm too this, I'm too that, you know. And for you to always feel that way about yourself, you know, it's great that you're starting to overcome this need to be physically like an Adonis in order to attract somebody. You don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I really believe that, especially, I don't know, I'm speaking from women. We'd much rather have some guy with a great, awesome personality than looks like, you know, a model off of like a billboard.
And I feel like I know that I have a good story when it's the women who are congratulating me. Like when I share about my first time and they're like, oh, high five, John. That's awesome.
So you had this experience that you guys cuddled, you got naked together, and then did it proceed?
And then...
Wait, was there kissing naked or just cuddling naked?
There was kissing. That was my first experience with tongue. And it felt like as it was happening, I kept thinking of those glazed strawberry like croissant desserts. Like for some reason the way the tongue felt, it felt like a strawberry in a glazed croissant.
Was she wearing like a flavored lip gloss or something?
No, it was just so wet. I just kept thinking of this pastry.
That's
treat.
A very good analogy. I mean, I wouldn't say I necessarily understand what that analogy means, but I can imagine that's a good feeling.
It was.
It reminds me of like an American Pie when they're trying to ask what if sex feels like, and they're like, feels like, you know, you're dipping it in a pie.
I don't like strawberries. And
so it was very pleasurable to you.
Yeah. And I got to unclasp her bra, and that was thrilling.
Why was it thrilling?
Because it had never happened before.
And also, did you feel really manly doing that?
I did.
Did you
such a treat?
What did you struggle with it or no?
I did, and then she was like, "Oh, this one unclasps from the front." And I went, okay.
That threw a loop,
and then it was much easier. Yes. Smooth sailing from there.
Actually, I think it's harder to do the ones that clasps in the front.
You're advanced.
Yeah, you went to advanced bra unhooking.
My heightened senses in the moment. So that was super, super fun. And at this point, I should probably bring up how she asked me if I had a condom, and I said, "No, I'm a virgin." And she said, "Okay, I'm just going to keep my panties on then." And I said, "Totally cool." So some purists may say that I did not have sex because I did not have intercourse. But I would like to say that I want to reject the primacy of penetration in the narrative of sexuality. Because what I wanted most was to have someone that I could share that connection with, be naked with. We both came together, which was great.
Wait. You came?
Yeah.
She came?
Yes.
How did you guys come?
Mutual and shared masturbation.
Love it.
Yeah.
You got a twinkle in your eye there.
Because how great is it to get to masturbate next to someone and then be like, oh, here, let me help you out. Oh, thank you. Oh, can I reach over? And oh, sure. Awesome. And
then this is definitely going to be a do-over on her part again. I could tell you that sounds fun. If I was in her position, I would think that's very fun.
It was so fun. And then...
Because it's like, when you're the first few times with someone, you're just learning each other's bodies and everything. And a lot of really bad sex can happen if you just like go right to penetration. Mm. Taking it slow is never a bad thing.
Yeah. I felt like because I didn't go directly to penetration, I got to enjoy the scenic route.
I always recommend, I recommend to my friends, especially younger people in my life, that if they're going to start hooking up with someone, do not go right to sex in terms of intercourse. Like everything, because and you, mom, you often say about this. How
I think it's like the only time when you're with someone that you can like let things like really heat up and tantalize each other and tease each other and let it happen for a while. And then when it finally does happen, you'll feel much more comfortable with each other and safer. Mm. And then it's going to be so much better because you can communicate what you want and what you don't want. Plus, take out all the other fears and pressures of I can't get it up or I'm going to get some disease or, all that kind of stuff.
I think it's a lot like a joke. Like you want to build as much tension as possible before the punchline. And then the punchline allows you to relieve the tension. And the more tension you had created, the bigger the laugh you're going to get.
Exactly. You don't want that punchline coming too soon. Right.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
If Cam knows about punchlines.
I know about punchlines for sure.
And Cam doesn't want those things coming too quick.
No. And so, I often for myself, I'm like, let's postpone this as long as possible so that it can grow in intensity.
Because you really can't go back. Okay. So once you had sex, you can't go, let's go back to just like being naked and unclasping someone's bra. You can't go back that way.
It doesn't. Yeah. You become kind of desensitized in a way. It's not as special. It is like a drug. Like you need more and more of the drug to feel the same high.
What was so incredible for me was after it was over, just lying there, and it was like the quietest my mind has been.
Wow.
And just that silence and stillness, and I remember thinking that this is how I want to live my life.
Yeah.
Like, you want to get that little hormonal release? You want to feel that connection?
Like, to me, it felt like it felt like the best kind of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Of just breathing and being present with the other person.
Totally.
Just that.
Yeah. Talk about calm comedy.
Yeah.
There it is.
All right. So that was 3 months ago. Have you seen her since?
We got to hang out together at a movie, and we held hands the entire time.
Oh, this is the cutest thing I've ever heard. I can't handle how cute this is.
So 3 months is a long time. Has things just gone back to friendly?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where she's most comfortable. And I asked her, because I checked in with her a week later just to check in where she was at and to share where I was at and to say that if you'd be interested, I'd love to take you on a date if you think that's something you'd enjoy. And she had shared that where she was at, she really appreciated keeping it friends. And I said, totally cool.
There's something called FOB.
Yeah. I did get to make out with her in a parking lot, and that was super fun.
You are definitely making up for lost time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you have any plans moving forward and ways that you're going to access your sexuality?
I had wanted to go to so I'm still part of the meetup app, and I got invited to an all gender play party, which, as I understand it, is basically an orgy. And I thought, great. It happened last week, and I did not go. Originally, I didn't go because a friend had asked me if I would house sit and watch her dog for her, and I thought, I can't leave the dog home alone if I'm so.
Damn, you could have. You just tell Cam to go watch a damn dog.
I'll remember that for next time. So, and then I was told that you no longer need to come over. My friend is going to. I said,
are you kidding
perfect.
Me?
Perfect. The orgy is back on.
Oh.
But then because I didn't get my ticket in time, the price went up to $100, and it was in San Diego, and I'm like, I just can't afford it right now.
Yeah.
But I'm part of the app, so there will always be opportunities in the future.
Can I ask what happened with the, did you just no-show for the stand-up, the Nature stand-up event?
Oh, so I also didn't have the $30 that was required to, because you had to pay to be part of the stand-up thing. So originally, I was going to go with another friend, who had also told me that she loves being naked. And I shared with her about
I am not alone.
No.
Apparently, you're finding out of everyone that wants to be naked. This is, whatever you're doing is great.
So
just go around telling people I'm trying to be naked, and they start saying, I love being naked.
I did share at a show last week that one of my goals for the new year is to be naked more. Because I got to be naked with one person this year, and that was awesome. So if I get to be naked with two people next year, well, that's like doubling the...
pleasure.
Yeah. So I thought, well, my initial excitement for getting to go to this was to be naked in front of people, but I got to be naked in front of someone.
Hell yes, you did.
So that initial... And then the thought of being outside naked for 6 hours just felt like,
bad idea.
That just feels intense.
We have to wrap things up, unfortunately. Oh. We're over time.
Oh, time has just flown by.
It's flown by. Do you have anything that you wish you could tell your younger self, that like a lesson that you've learned through this whole process? Because I'm sure a lot of our listeners, at least some of our listeners, can relate to this, the feelings that you have experienced and were so honest in vocalizing today.
I'd say the most meaningful thing that I could tell my younger self, or that I tell myself, is I'm so proud of myself for holding on and becoming my own best friend. because about 2 weeks ago, I had a, or it was close to a month ago, I had a very momentous day. I got paid for my solo show, which was titled Conversations with Myself, A Eulogy for Old Stories, which came in to all of this. And I was on my way to a my therapist, and I had been thinking of all the gun violence that had been happening, and I asked myself, would I ever own a gun? And I thought, no, I think that would complicate my life unnecessarily. But what was so incredible about that is if anyone had asked me before, would you own a gun, I would have said no. I would probably use it on myself.
Wow.
So for, because that feeling of not really feeling a part of the world, mm-hmm. and who do I connect with, and I'm here, but how do I feel about myself? So to come to that place where my immediate thought wasn't to get rid of myself, it was actually to make my life less complicated.
Mm.
And I share that with a friend, and she told me that, yeah, it sounds like feeling your feet on the ground for the very first time.
I love it.
I would say to myself and anyone else out there is that you are enough. And when you're able to be in that place of believing it and embodying it, everything becomes easier and everything becomes more accessible because no one can give you that. You're already that.
Mm. I love this.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for opening
Thank
up
you.
With us.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
You probably are my favorite guest ever.
Oh.
You're just like the sweetest, most humble person I think I've ever met.
It was such an honor to get to speak with you both.
Can we ask you one more question?
Please.
This is going to be a doozy.
Oh. We end every interview with, have you ever walked in on a parent having sex or vice versa? I assume the vice versa does not apply in this case.
Already answered. No.
Okay.
There, I want to say that when I was really young, there would be times where I would just stay downstairs because I'd hear my parents having sex.
Oh,
upstairs.
Really? Well, that's so, more than most. I never heard my parents having sex.
Oh, okay. So I want because that immediately came up, I want to say that happened. But it would have been when I was real young.
Gotcha. So do you have anything you'd like to plug to our listeners? Where can they find your work, your hilarious comedy?
Well, thank you.
A Wise Buddha.
Oh. So I Hear Like This is my handle for my Twitter and my Instagram and my Tumblr and my Facebook. And I just synced them all up this week. Oh, and I have an account on Medium. And then I host the Calm Comedy Hour every second Sunday at 8:30 during Catsby at the Clubhouse on Vermont in Los Feliz. So that'll be
happening. In Los Angeles, California.
Yeah. And if you're interested in learning more, I also have ihearlikethis@gmail.com. So if anyone has any questions or is interested in my shows, it'll either be posted on those sites or I'm available through email. And my goal is in this next year to have a website, which then will be linked to all the other accounts.
Good luck to you. I think that you're going to get a lot of people wanting to hear a little bit more from you.
Well, thank you.
And if you're listening, listener, and you enjoy this story, if it touched you, reach out to us at Yes Text Mom, or reach out to Jonathan at
ihearlikethis@gmail.com.
Bingo. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you, Kim. Thank you.
Thank you.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.